Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 beautiful people. I'm Bishop Randy Dean here with you for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve easily into the rabbit hole of BS. That's for my purposes, bait and switch, or for your purposes, you can call BS whatever it is, suits your fancy. So I want you to understand that BS is the lazy person's way of relating and communicating. To BS people is to draw them in with a bait and then switch to your motivation or to your agenda. That is not love. Love, however, considers the other person's views, ideas, and life. That's what I want to talk about today. The consideration of love. It's the heavy lifting of life. All right, so I'll get to that in just a moment. But on this radio broadcast and podcast, what I like to do is to keep me on the road, the narrow way, the between the white lines of this metaphorical highway by doing a couple of things on a regular as a routine, and it helps my mind be stationed where it needs to be. I like to lead you in Love's Creed. I do that here at the first of all of my broadcasts. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together, because I find that to be a good cleansing mental exercise and spiritual exercise, obviously. All right? Here's Love's Creed, something I wrote many years ago as a New Year's resolution, and it's become a lifelong pursuit. Here we go. And I'm going to have you repeat it after I read through it in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there it is in total. Let's go back through it piece by piece, and I'm going to ask you to do yourself the favor of repeating after me. I think one of the things that we need to do is a meditation of life on various levels, but this is a simple meditation by simply repeating after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. That's good for me, and I hope it's good for you. If you'd like a copy of it, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. Be my pleasure to send you a copy of that so you could put it in your phone or a device or on a 3x5 card for daily meditation. All right. The Lord's Prayer. I know this because 40 million people have left organized religion here in the United States since the turn of the 21st century. And I understand that many people don't know the Lord's Prayer. And if you're one of them, you have my grace and my love. I get it. So if you don't know it, listen in and let me carry you along. But if you do know it, I invite you to join me. Okay? It's a powerful way to pray and arrange your spiritual and emotional priorities. Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yeah? Well, this most prayed prayer in human history. Millions upon millions of people have prayed it for the last 2,000 years. And those words come from the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ. I don't know that you can get a better prayer to pray on any level, right? It's profound. Okay, I want to talk to you today about how love and the practice of love, which is heavy lifting, it's practical, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's an uphill climb, it's a marathon, not a sprint, it's a mountain climb, not a stroll through a park. Love is the way we genuinely connect with the human condition, and we connect with people around us by having a creed of love that continues to hold our sway in how we approach the world, by having a love commission in our mentality. It really does change how we manage our priorities, we manage relationships. I hear routinely from people that when I talk about love, they seem to feel like I'm just soft soaping, waving bubbles in the air and inviting you to some kind of unicorn and rainbows lifestyle. And nothing is further from the truth. Love is challenging, and it always has been, always should be. To that end, if you think love is just some soft soap, rainbows, and unicorn way of approaching life, well, then I would suggest rather directly that you don't understand love. Love really does commit us as humans to be fully engaged in relationships as much as we can on any given moment, any given day, and any given level of relationships. Obviously, there's all kinds of levels of relationships, friends, neighbors, even our enemies. And Jesus taught us, love your enemies. And if that doesn't sound like hard work to you, then you're not paying attention. I know, that sounded kind of harsh, but it's real, it's true. So come join me. Come join me in some conditioning. You know, if you do any kind of exercise at all, you got to condition yourself. You just don't grab 200 pounds of dead weight and lift it suddenly. You got to condition your way toward it. I'm proposing here that love is it's more than 200 pound dead weight lifting. It's much more. So to condition your life is a lifelong challenge. At my stage in life at 72, I'm fully committed to grow. I'm gonna stay on the growth curve all my life because I want people in my life. And what that means is I got to do some hard work. I got to do some incredibly patient practices that are all related to love. I think sometimes, can I just chase a rabbit? Here we go. When you get old, that's not a license to get grumpy and stodgy and stubborn. I've seen that all too often in my life. Been on the receiving end of it, and frankly, I've practiced it a few times. Like, hey, I got socks older than you. Don't look at me or talk to me like that. Well, that's no way to live life. That's harsh. That's cruel, and you're just going to minimize your relationships and not maximize. So, in my life, I want my relationships to be as maximized as I know how to get them. I've made plenty of mistakes. I've done a lot of trips and falls and stumbles along the way in my pursuit of love. I don't pretend to be a perfect lover. I am a lover in progress. Come join me, would you? So to love, all right, back to the main course here. To love is to sustain a condition of attentiveness to people, to let people know I'm listening, let people know I'm contemplating, that I'm not out of hand rejecting what you're saying. And if I don't understand what you're saying, I will ask you to repeat. Could you say that again in another way? I'm sorry, but it's not registering with me. Without blaming the person who's communicating. Own it yourself. Carry the weight. That's love. Love does the heavy lifting. And in the heavy lifting of listening and trying to understand what somebody's saying, our consideration for their communication includes suggesting that I don't get it. Oh, my heavens, help us. I have to be humble enough to say, I'm just not grasping this in a way that is helpful for both of us. So please help me. That's how love works. Paying attention to small details. Hold yourself responsible to keep a regard of others when you're making decisions that affect them. I've been in some form of leadership my whole life. As an adult, from the time I was a youth pastor until, oh my goodness, as a pastor, as a bishop, as a school board member, as board member with nonprofits and other organizations, I've been in some form of leadership my whole life. That's a whole lot of life. And what I have learned is the most ignorant way to lead is to act like you know everything all the time. That's an ignorant form of leading. In fact, it's not leadership. It's arrogance. Somebody might call it fascism. You can be a fascist in your own little house or in a school board or whatever small group you're leading. When you act like you know it all the time, that's just arrogance. Stop your display of what you think you know. And I'm learning and continuing to learn in my own life is to know I do not know it all. And I do know this. People half my age know things I don't know. But I'm eager. I want to learn. And if I'm going to learn, I have to love. If I'm going to grow, I'm going to have to love and do that heavy lifting of being considerate of what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, and not blaming people for being wrong and me right. So here, feed my ego and show me how right I am and how wrong you are. That's a diseased, dysfunctional way to live life. So in any kind of bond with people, the depth of care that I want to destroy, that I want to demonstrate, not destroy. I want to give a demonstration of the level of my consideration. I want my consideration to be at as deep a level as is humanly possible with any given relationship, with any given person, with any given moment, right down to a quick interaction with a store clerk. Store clerks are you talk about a challenging job. It's customer service. It's human resources. It's assembly line work. When you're customer service at that cash register and people are coming and going at rapid pace, they want in, they want out, and they want in and out right now. Well, so to the level of somebody at a cash register, when I'm standing there, my love is calling me. Notice I said calling. Now, I'm not doing this perfectly. I'm doing it with progress. My love is calling me to give attentiveness and consideration to that store clerk. Give them eye contact, even if they don't give me eye contact. Give them the benefit of the doubt when they make a mistake or if I think they're making a mistake. See, that's part of our problem. When mistakes are being made, we are often given to think all the mistakes being made are by other people and not me. Well, that's just not true. That is just patently not true. They might be making a mistake, but then again, perhaps I am. Perhaps I'm missing the point. You know, if they're counting change and they count the change wrong, it might have been that I didn't give them enough change to the store clerk. But all the way from store clerk to wife, to husband, to significant other, to children, to grandchildren, to your neighbors, whoever, wherever. to lay down the demand of your ego to always be right and everybody else is always wrong. You've heard me say it here before, if you've been with me, that the ego feed of proving other people wrong and showing how right I am, that ego feed is like a drug addiction. That ego feed of letting the world know with your metaphorical chest thumping that everyone else is wrong, but I'm right. Wow, that's a dysfunctional means of living life, much less leading or just being a good neighbor or a good customer at a gas station or being a good partner to somebody you love. Listen, egos are a thing, and all of us have a need for a healthy ego to sustain that ego in some kind of balance with other people is to recognize others have egos too. And when I smash and crush and step on their ego because my ego is so frail, well, that's the evidence of the absence of love. So to that end, true love can be seen in an effort to understand and honor others and show that your happiness and their well-being is a priority. Notice what I said there. Your happiness. Listen, when other people have a sustained well-being, I'm happier. I want you to catch that. When other people around me who interact with me have some sustained well-being when I'm around, whether they know it or not, and most times they don't, well, then they're going to have some sense of wanting to be around me. I don't know how else to say that. But if I'm robbing them of their well-being with my presence, well, then they don't want to be around me. And guess what? I'm going to be unhappy. My happiness is going to be drained by the absence of connection and friendship. I'm just seriously in my own life examining all of those levels. I've said here before, I'll repeat it here again, that anytime as a pastor when I preached on love, I always had somebody come back to me. So not a whole herd of people, but a few would always come back and say, "Hey, great sermon on love, Pastor. However, I just want to point out that there was a time you didn't love me. I didn't feel loved by you. There was a time now for me, away with quoting somebody, I would have been self-defensive. I would have found myself going, wait a minute, whoa, what? When did I do that? Show me an example. Tell me when. But what I've learned out of love and what I've learned out of sustaining, helping to contribute to the well-being of others is I'll ask this question. How can I behave in a better way? Now, they may continue on with their salvo of beating me up, or they may say, well, you know, when you came to talk to me that one time, you grabbed your cell phone and you looked at it while we were talking. Now, there's a good practical point of reference, and it makes me realize, whoa, wait a minute. Put that phone away. When you're with other people, be with other people. Or I can say to that person, here's a great one. If I'm going to sustain love as a practical progress in my life, rather than defend myself or ask, when did I do something unloving? Maybe I just want to say, oh, I really don't like that about me. I'm capable of doing that, and I'm working on me. I'm growing, and I'm a work in progress. I don't claim perfection, so please forgive me. Please don't know that I own that, and whatever the case might have been, or however I can improve, I'll certainly keep that in mind. See, now, right away, you're doing something profound in that moment. And for me, I've had to learn that. You're disarming the criticism. You're disarming the person's discomfort. And you're giving them their ego feed that they obviously need on some level. Their ego's been beat up and bruised by something. And whether I did the beating up and the bruising or not, I contributed. So at that level, they're suddenly having a sense of a healthy ego, that they've said something that might be helpful. And to that end, I've contributed to their happiness and their well-being. Now, I want to say this quickly. Guess who else is benefiting in that moment? I am. As a pastor, if a sermon gets critiqued, even in an unfair way, if a sermon on love in particular is critiqued, the best thing I can do is be committed to demonstrating love in that very moment and to listen. So as I started this moment a few moments ago, when I used to preach on love and people would criticize me for not being loving, I'd get defensive. But then I've learned as I have grown that I can accept it. I can give them my respect. I can give them a smile and a handshake or a hug. I can apologize, or I can simply say, I'm here to grow, and I invite you to join me in the growth. Right? So love alone, somebody once said, is the only credible basis for faith, for Christianity, or any religion, and love alone is the only credible basis for life. Do you know that all the way back in the Old Testament, the primary one command, I know there's a bunch of commandments about don't eat this, don't eat that, don't touch this, don't touch that. I know that. And Jesus commented on that and said, all of that's been fulfilled in me, in Jesus. But the one command that was always lingering through all those other ancient demands is this: Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Whew! See it? That for all the other antique commands, it was always this staple, this sound wisdom that we love God. I know it, the Old Testament can come off as sounding like, do what God says do, or you're going to get clubbed into oblivion. I know it can come off that way, and it has for me many times. But I am called, and I'm asking you to recall with me, that there's this tender invitation from God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Just full stop right there. Can you imagine your mother or your father, your uncle, your auntie, your grandmother, your grandfather, or just your neighbor, older somebody, come along and say, hey, I've got a request I want to make. Can you imagine them coming to you and say, love me? What a moment that would be. Somebody with, you know, you have a whole lot of respect for, a sense of admiration. They're in the power structure of life, they're above you, whatever that may be, your boss, your supervisor, HR director, are just somebody older than you. And they just said, hey, I got a request to make. And I know it's going to sound maybe a little odd, but I'm asking you to love me. Wouldn't it stop you dead in your tracks? Wouldn't it cause you to just pause and take a deep breath and wonder, whew, what is happening here? What do I need to do to meet that request? What do I need to do to arrange my life in some better way so that this person knows that I have a real sense of consideration and regard for who they are? In the power structure of life, they seem to be above me, but wow, they're just saying, love me. Now that I don't have time now to finish this, but I want to close with these thoughts, that this is the power differential, the beauty of a power differential when love is in the dynamic. And this is what God is saying about this power differential. Love me. Love me with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Oh my. Well, maybe next time I'll come back and unpack that a little more distinctively. But right now I've got to bring this podcast in for a close. And I'm going to ask you to do these two things with me. First of all, I'm going to ask you to breathe well. To breathe well is to live in a more healthy space. We're probably, and myself included, we're not aware of the short breaths we take in our anxieties. So, as an exercise to change that, on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, hold it, and then exhale very slowly, okay? One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. Yeah. And exhale. If you did that, you just lowered your blood pressure incrementally, if not more. If you did that, you just gave your mind a little space to stop. You gave your body a little drink of oxygen. And I would propose that we're all in need of just a little more self-care if we're going to love others with a significant kind of care. The second thing I close this broadcast with is a practice that I'm infamous for because it makes people uncomfortable and it is weird, it's startling, it's a bit off-putting, but it's a good practice. And once again, it challenges me to do some heavy lifting. And that is this, with eye contact and with real determination to say three holy, charmed, magical words with distinction, say, I love you. Right? Right. I mean, look in the mirror and say it to yourself. You know how awkward that feels, how weird it feels. But let me tell you something. There are people in your world and in my world who are starving to hear those three words. Those three magical words change an atmosphere in somebody's life. And yeah, again, it gets a little weird and what are we doing here? And just make sure you're not being weird. Make sure you're being loving. And give people those three words. It's powerful. It's life-changing for you and for the recipient. And I know this, all y'all listening to me know, I love you. Go ahead, put that on repeat. If you need it, if it feeds your soul in some way, go ahead, repeat it. I love you. I just know those three words are world-changing, life-changing, home and family-changing, friendship-changing, neighbors-changing, nation-changing, if those three words are genuinely connected to our mind, our heart, our soul, and our being into the life of other people. All right, well, as I leave, I want to remind you of a couple of things here. The biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said it this way. Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And here's what this Bishop Randy says to you. Go out there and do something beautiful. I believe beauty will change the world. That's not a phrase my own, but I borrow it. Beauty changes the world. Go out and do something beautiful because ugly, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. May we be the people who have learned to introduce beauty in small ways times 1,000 every day and beauty in a few large ways a few times every day. Give beauty a chance to change the world. And the most beautiful thing you do or I do is to significantly, genuinely love. Rise and shine, y'all. Thanks for being with me. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.